Alright, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Alright, for the next 1.5 hours, we'll be studying the Word of God together. I'll try and be quick because what I want to share today is supposed to take me 2 hours, but let me shrink it. I was hoping I'll start earlier, but it didn't work out. If you have your Bibles, whether it's on a paper Bible, a tab, a phone, whatever it is, open to the book of Psalms chapter 34. I want to start from there. Our Father, we give you thanks because you're already in our midst and your Holy Spirit is here giving your people enlightenment and turning the hearts of people towards righteousness and towards development into the image of Christ. Thank you because I'll speak only your word alone and your people will hear only your counsel in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Psalm 34, quickly. I am going to start reading from verse 8. Now, we are talking about how to change your life, and I began to discuss that yesterday. And yesterday, I talked about how curses work. That is, I tried to explain the particular principle, and the reason is because this is Africa, and we are so into this curse thing. Let me just say something which I didn't say yesterday. Curses are real. Do you understand? Even the white man who doesn't believe in it, he knows. You understand? It's real. And what's a curse? A curse is that the easiest way I find to describe it is to talk about the opposite of it. The opposite of a curse is a blessing. And what's a blessing? A blessing is the empowerment to succeed that God puts into everything. For example, all over this place, you can see different kinds of equipment. There are fans, there are video cameras, there are air conditioners, there are lighting systems. Those things were manufactured, all right, and they did not come on. By the time they finished manufacturing these lights, they did not come on. Now, by the time they were transported into this particular hall, they were not on. Everything was arranged, the lights were not on, all right, until somebody put them into a socket that has electricity in it and switched that thing on. As soon as it switched it on, then we discovered the success in the manufacturing of that equipment. Do you understand what I'm saying there? That is, the light suddenly began to emit something by which the place became brighter. Until that power entered into that thing, it could not do anything. And that is what a blessing is. A blessing is that empowerment to function. A blessing is that which God pours into a particular system. After he made the man, after he made everything, he now said to them, be fruitful and multiply. That was not counsel. God wasn't telling them, look, when you get to school, try, read your book, you'll make sure you are fruitful and multiply. No. What he did was to utter a word. That word was a spiritual substance, which is what we call the blessing. And when it entered into the people, all right, they began to multiply. They began to be fruitful. It's an empowerment, all right? That's what a blessing is. A curse is the opposite. It's something that starts working in the lives of people to counteract those things that God said at the beginning. So, when God placed a curse upon the earth, this is the same earth he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. You understand? He said all of those things. He now said, this earth will no longer yield its increase for you. So the earth will try, all right? But something else will come in and come and work against that. So you find that earthquakes will come in, all right? Weevils may come into the farm. Different things start coming in so that the man does not get the full result of what he desires from the earth. So he has to start struggling. He has to start inventing. He has to try inventing pesticides, all kinds of things to get fruitfulness out of the earth. Why? Because a particular force is now working against the blessing that God put inside there. And that is what we call a curse. So that's what happens to people also, all right? Sometimes it's working in their lives, all right? I'm not trying to emphasize on the issue of curses, all right? What I did yesterday was to explain a particular principle by which they work. And I wanted to emphasize the fact that if you don't tap into it, if you don't plug your own electric cables into the sockets of curses, it will not come into your life. Do you understand my point? That is, you have to deliberately plug it inside. You have to do something to activate it. We gave the example yesterday. We saw from the life of Abiasa. That was in First Kings chapter 2. Where they plotted against Solomon, who was a man of God for the season. They plotted against the counsel of God, which he gave through David. They plotted. And because of that conspiracy, all right, the curse that was placed upon the household of Eli in the beginning of the book of Samuel, which we saw was definitely not less than 100 years before that. But the curse was in the air. Abiathar was in the priesthood, even though God has spoken a word against his presence in the priesthood. It did not work against him until he joined a conspiracy against the counsel of God, and then the fulfillment of that curse came into his life. Are you getting my point? That is, you can walk out of a curse just by refusing to tap into it. Because we said at the beginning that the Bible says that, of course, we're talking about death, that through one man, sin entered into the world, and death by that sin. And death reigned upon all men because, he said, all men sinned. If all men did not sin, death could not reign upon them. You must understand, the devil must always have a hold upon people. When Jesus was speaking, he said, the prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. That is, he has nothing to hold on to. Very interesting, maybe because of my profession. I don't understand something. All right? There are, you've heard of viruses. You've heard of bacteria. The very popular bacteria, thing like tuberculosis, all right, is a bacterium. You've heard of viruses. HIV is one of them. In fact, the most famous one currently is what? Ebola, you understand? Now, this is what they do. Ebola does not infect every living organism. There are very few organisms it can infect. There are very, very few. That's typical of most viruses. There are very few organisms they can infect. There are thousands. There are maybe scores of thousands of different kinds of viruses that can cause disease on the earth. But human beings don't care about most of them. Why? Because they don't infect human beings. I want to explain something. The reason why they don't, that's what I want to explain, is because most of them, in fact, this is how they work. The first thing they do is to find where to attach to on your cells. So molecular biologists, all right, those who understand it, they know the kind of things that those viruses attach to. So if an organism doesn't have it, it can't attach there. So that is why the one that kills your dog will not kill your goat. Because the goat doesn't have what the dog has that allows the thing to attach to it. That's just the way it is. And that's the principle in life also spiritually. When Satan is coming with his diseases, when he's coming with his spiritual troubles, the first thing he looks for is where to attach. And Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing to attach to in me. And that's what I want to emphasize, all right? Before a curse can attach to somebody, it must have a place. And that is why we are told, he said, a curse that is causeless does not alight. It does not rest. That is why all those ones you watch on television, somebody's walking on the road, a man who you do not know blows something upon you and you suddenly die. It's home video. Are you getting my point? A man who you have nothing, you know, he didn't do anything to him, doesn't know you from anywhere, just cast a spell into the air. The Bible says if there is no cause for that curse, it does not alight. It's a spiritual principle. If I like the way he said it in the, I think it's Good News Bible. Good News Bible says, curses cannot hurt you unless you deserve them. If you have a Good News Bible, you can check it to get today's English version. He said, curses cannot hurt you unless you deserve them. They are like birds that fly by and never alight. So sometimes I hear Christians say these things. They go around and say, you know, the one I say all the time, you know, I hear all those kind of stories. And this is, you know, my wife will come and say, somebody said this, and she'll tell me the story. Of course, now with due respect to my wife, all right? But she, when she was hearing it, she was like, who? What? When she gets home, she tells me. And I say, it's a lie. Those early days, not now. Those early days, she said, you never believe any of these things. I said, but I'm always correct. They are always wrong. Why should I believe what is not true? Somebody comes and says that a witch has been holding him or her down for the last 15 years. I said, why do you confess your sins openly? A witch held you down for 15 years. You know what you are saying in effect? I have been a sinner for 15 years. People don't realize it. They go around, all right, brandishing their ignorance and their iniquity. Then the witch, I don't know how they say it in this part of the world. Okay, there's a particular word we used to use on that side. Anyway, there's an English one. They say the witch has confessed. And it's supposed to be a sign of victory that the witch confessed. If you need a witch to confess before you have your victory, you're a sinner. You're in bondage. You need a witch to confess. Whether you confess or you don't confess, the only confession I want to hear from the mouth of a witch is that Jesus is now Lord in my life. So that he or she can be saved. A witch, whether you confess or you don't confess, it doesn't concern me. You cannot hold me down because of your lack of confession. Do you understand my point? Say they have confessed, so what? I don't need their confession. Because they can't hold me down. And you see people going around brandishing those, and ministries are built around it. After I prayed for that man, the uncle confessed. What thing concern me? Uncle confessed, so uncle does not confess. Listen, when we pray for you, you are delivered if you repent of your sins. The confession of the uncle does not in any way mean that you have been delivered. He can confess that you are still in your bondage. There's one movie I love, with TV series, all right, by Mount Zion Ministries. Many of us know Mount Zion. If you watch that movie, which was how I saw it. I saw it around 1992, thereabouts. Early 90s, 94, thereabouts. When it was hot and fresh. You should watch that movie. Go and look for it. Even if it's converted to English or the subtitle in English, just watch it. You know what I like about it? That couple, when they went into that village to go and start their evangelism work, they had their little hut they were staying in, the little house they were staying in there. And the chief priest of the village, who had everybody in bondage, in fact, the literal name of the village was hold them in bondage. Literally means keep them captives as slaves. Yes, that's the meaning of the word. Mualeru is keep them captive as slaves. That's the meaning of the name of the village, the way they use it in that particular series. And these guys were sent by God, of course, to be deliverers for that particular place. Now, when they got in there, of course, they went around doing their work. And that man decided that these guys were an offense to his territory. They were an assault to his territory. So he decided he was going to do what he knew how to do, how to kill. And listen, those guys, when they are amongst their own type, they can kill. I have testimonies that show that they know how to do it. Derek Prince will give you testimonies of what happened when he was in Kenya. John G. Lake will tell you testimonies of what happened in South Africa. I like to mention these names so that you know these are not even Africans. These were white people who came down to Africa and they testified concerning the power of the occult. So that thing is not just a film. And like I said yesterday, I'm preaching to Christians. So what I'm saying applies to a Christian. If you're an unbeliever, I think you just come to church, come and look for breakthrough. A witch will kill you when it likes. Just wake up one morning and say, don't tell when I chop person. He can't chop you. I'm not talking to you, honest, and that does not disprove my doctrine. I am talking to those who indeed are children of God who have given their lives to Christ. They're the one I'm talking to. All right? So, these guys decided to go out. This man decided to kill those people. And he did what he knew how to do. And he decided to go to their homes to go and inspect their corpses. Because he knew that by the time I'm through, they'll be dead. So he got to the house. Everyone was quiet. He said, good. Then he went to the back of the house to go and find where they fell down and died. Only to get there, and the lady was picking vegetables, and she saw him approach, and she jumped, you know, out of reflex. This is a senior man, not out of fear. Oh, this is an elderly man. She jumped up to greet him, and the man was shocked. Like, you are not dead? I can't remember the rest of the story, whether the husband too showed up. Baba, you are welcome. Any problem? You came to our house. Please sit down. Let's get you something to drink. The man looked at the two of them. He got angry and stomped out. Because he was wondering what happened. He didn't have to confess. He didn't change his mind. He still wanted them to die, but he could not kill them because the power to kill them was not given to him. That was why Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. In fact, why the Lord said that was that he wanted to emphasize to the people that you are going to see what will happen to me. I am going to be taken. I am going to be beaten. I am going to be crucified. He said, but listen, it is because I am laying down my life of myself. It is not because the devil has any power. My emphasis is the fact that he has nothing in me. That's why I said yesterday, you can walk out on a curse. You can. In fact, let me not go there, so as not to create too much discussion. Because you realize, all right, that everybody has to do something to tap into it. And that's why I said yesterday, be careful, be very careful what you hold on to. And that's why I'm supposed to bring my message today. We'll read that thing in a moment. But let me make a statement to you. What I want to explain today is what I call the principle of descendants. All right? That may not be the title, but that's the main thing I want to explain. So that you understand that what God has done, because this is how the word of God is, this is how life is. Everything in life has been spoken by God. Every single thing that's going to happen. He has spoken them. Principles of life, precepts, he has spoken them. And that's why the Bible says that he opposed all things by the word of his power. Listen, there are a number of principles you must have from the scriptures. For example, he'll tell you, whatever God has joined together, let no one put asunder. That's a matter of marriage he was talking about, but there's a particular principle in there that actually God joins things together. And once he joins them together, it is not right for us to try and put them asunder. And in fact, we cannot put them asunder. Like the Englishman will say, you cannot separate wet from water. So anytime you see wet, you see water. I'm going to something. All right? Just bear that in mind. All right? Now, let's read this scripture. All right? So I know we have read it. Then I can get back to what I want to say. Please put a pause there in your mind. Just put a pause on what I was saying. Then we'll read the scripture. Then release the pause. Then we'll continue playing our message. Okay? I thought we should open somewhere. Where? Psalm 34. I am going to read most of it, and because I'm reading most of it, I need us to be quick in following me, because I'll read very fast, all right? Now, we're reading from verse 8. Oh, taste and see. I would love to read the whole thing, but I'm just starting from 8 so as to save time. It said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Now, notice verse 11. Please notice this. If everybody, let's read verse 11 together. One, two, go. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Let's go by it again. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. All right, thank you. Verse 12. Who is the man who desires life, he says, and loves length of days, that he may see good? This is what that man should do. Keep your tongue from evil. Please notice it. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. If you want good days, you want desire life and see length of days, keep your tongue from evil. Keep your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Why? He said, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit, that is, who are repentant. All right? He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, he said, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Now, please let me read that verse again, the one we read earlier. He said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. There's a reason why I read this, okay? Now, remember we put our pause somewhere earlier. Can you remember? Now release the pause now. I want to go back to that particular point. I was saying something about curses, that there's a way they work. You cannot just be going around life as an adult, saying a curse is the reason why you are not progressing. Okay? Not realizing that you are confessing thereby that you are a sinner and you have tapped into the curse. Because if you did not do something to tap into it, it cannot hold on to you. It can't. It will struggle. I said to you before, okay, but not here during this seminar, but in my previous teachings, for those who have been listening to my messages, that Satan does not have the kind of power people try to make it appear as he has. He does not. He does not have the power to kill and to make alive. He does not. He does not rule over this earth. Even though sometimes we say that Satan is the god of this world, therefore he does anything he likes, that scripture is not properly quoted when we use that expression from 2 Corinthians. All right? What the Bible meant when it said Satan is the god of this world is that there is a world system that he creates. And people who work in that world system, they serve him, they worship him, they follow his dictates. It does not mean that once you are in Nigeria, you understand, suddenly Satan is responsible for everything that happens to you. No, he doesn't have that kind of power. Satan has very few powers. One of them, the most prominent, the most deployed of all the powers that the devil has, is the power of temptation. It is the power of temptation. What he does, what is primary to him, is to tempt. And this is the interesting part. God allows that one, all right, to him. When Jesus was in there, after the fast and everything, the 40 days, Jesus was there and Satan came to tempt him. God saw him coming. The angels saw him coming. The Lord could have given a commandment and they would have barricaded the environment and he wouldn't be able to come. But God said, no, this is how I separate the men from the boys. They must be tempted. Are you getting my point? So God allows temptation. Listen, God will allow you to go hungry. And it's in the scriptures like that. He said, he fed you, he made you hungry, then he fed you with manna. Jeremiah chapter 8. So God allows that. Okay? The fact that you believe God is not proof that it does not mean you will never be hungry. The reason is because hunger is a temptation. Yeah, that's what it is. So God said, He made you hungry. I don't have time to, we're not doing a detailed Bible study now. We don't have the time. But go and read that, Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, He made you hungry first, and then He fed you with manna. What was the hunger? It was temptation. It was the time you would decide whether you are going to serve God or you will go back to Egypt. Did you hear what I said? This is how it is. God wants to know whether you want to serve Him or you will use every opportunity to go back to Egypt. It is around nonsense. All right, some people say that when I became a Christian, things became difficult. That was why I backslid. God allowed the things to become difficult to check whether you will backslide. And when you backslid, you just prove to Him that you are not worthy of the kingdom. When Jesus said, nobody who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is worthy of the kingdom. Why would they look back except there's something to look back to? If every good thing was in front, they wouldn't look back. Think about it. When they left Egypt, why did they look back? Because they started remembering, they forgot all the troubles, all right? Remember, there were cucumbers there. We ate garlic. We ate food. After all, water was available. We didn't have to be praying before we would get water. And the Bible says once they kept on thinking about where they came from, they had the opportunity to return. Let nobody lie to you that being a believer, everything will be easy. No, it is not true. God allows things to be difficult to check whether indeed you want to be a believer. One day, I was with one man, a preacher. Well, I don't know whether it's a preacher, but it's an active worker in a particular church. So one day he was discussing with me about young ladies that, you know, they try to help out and all of that. Some of these girls were essentially prostitutes, you understand? Although they don't stand on the roadside, you know, sugar daddies and all of that. So some of them, you know, coming to church. So one day, I think he showed me the message one of them sent to him. That what happened is that, listen, let me tell you something. When you repent, first of all, life go hard. Because now you can't steal. Are you following what I'm saying? If you're a policeman, you can't collect Roger again. Suddenly you will understand what John meant. When they say, what must we do to be saved? He said, be content with your wages. Are you getting my point? That's Christianity. Christianity is not breakthrough. Christianity is righteousness. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
Christianity is not breakthrough. It is righteousness. Once I went to preach in Abuja, SU conference, Northern conference. And one day, at the end of this, one day she wanted to talk with me. By the time we finished talking, what happens is that she said that the family used to be okay, and then now they are having issues. The father, two of her brothers. And then when we finished talking, then suddenly something struck me. I said, wait, you're about to go to the village for deliverance. She looked at me. Oh, you're planning to go and conduct deliverance in the village? I said, don't date. You are looking for more trouble. You guys are having challenges. I said, you will have. Why won't you have? Think about it. Her father was a juju man, essentially. The brothers were business people. Between the father's jujuism, I'm manufacturing English once in a while to make my point clear. And the brothers' practice of normal ungodliness, the family was doing okay financially. And one day, between her prayers and her preaching and the sending of laborers into their harvest field, everybody gave their lives to Christ. Then suddenly money became a bit tight. And so she was like, what kind of curse is going on? So maybe somebody now said that they need to go to the village and dig up something. Arrant foolishness. All these years we were selling the devil. The thing was not there. Why did it not work? I told her, listen, this is common sense. This is not even special spirituality. All that happened was that your brothers have lost their trade. Your father has lost his trade. They have to start life again. They can't do things the way they used to do it. They have put their hands on the plow. If they look back, they are not worthy of the kingdom. Do you get my point? I said to her, go and tell them, be diligent, pray, be patient, and God will lift you up again. Satan cannot put you in a place. You leave him, you remain on that same place. It's not possible. You will crash down to a godly level. Then afterwards, we'll start building you up again. Back to the story I was telling you about that brother that was talking with me. He stayed over in our house that day, two nights. So we chatted a bit. He said that one of those ladies that was helping, any little thing she needed, she would call him. You understand? You know, money and all of that. And then I said, and you guys were doing a lot of foolishness in what you call evangelism. You'll be solving people's all their financial problems because you say you are preaching. You are a preacher. All you are supposed to do is preach. So, of course, at the point time, he got tired. Why won't you get tired when you are doing the one God did not send you? Finally, one day, the girl had asked him for something. So he replied and said, listen, girl, I can't do it. The girl now sent him a text. She said, you told me to leave my boyfriends. Now you are not there for me. I wish he had sent the text to me. I would have said, I hereby release you back to your boyfriends. Am I Jesus Christ? Did I die for your sins? I just came to preach to you. If you love your boyfriends, go back to them. And I'll tell you, listen, if you go back, you will die and go to hell. Make a choice. Better suffer the small you want to suffer on the earth. Because if you suffer too much, self, how old? Okay, you're already 20. You suffer, 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 and in your case, you live to be 100. You suffer for 80 years. No, be so. Then you now enjoy for eternity. No, we seem to forget this part of Christianity. Christianity is not breakthrough. The Bible says it clear. It said the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking. But it's in what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let nobody tell you that Christians can't be broke. You can be broke. The only prayer you should pray is that God, let me be broke early. It's the truth. Say, God, I don't want to be broke late. Let my young age be the time of being broke. I tell young men, trek with pride. What is your problem? Get to the girl's doorsteps that you want to marry. Bring out your shoes and clean it first. Say, Angelina, please wait. The dust was too much on the road. What is all of this on? You want to buy a car to impress somebody? Any woman that will not marry you while you are poor is not worthy of the kingdom. What's your problem? It's true now. Let nobody give you the impression that there is no, trials in Christianity. There is. There is. Back to the matter of Satan. So that is where Satan waits. It is sometimes when you are hungry. He waited for Jesus to be hungry. That was his opportunity. When the young lady who gave her life to Christ, therefore she doesn't have money anymore, the day she's broke, cosmetic will finish. She will have rubbed the bottom of the can, shake the thing like this, nothing again. Satan will say, if it's those days now, you know. That is what they call temptation. And please, if you are preaching, don't tell anybody that it will not happen, because it will happen. It will happen again and again. Tell them ahead of time, be ready for it and be proud of it. And say to the devil, even though he slays me, yet I will trust him. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is not that, ever since I believe, look at it now. I used to be broke, I'm no longer broke. Sometimes, Christianity also is, ever since I believed, I used to have plenty, now I'm no longer having. It's a sign of my faith. You will go and preach, that what is it? You think you are driving cars? I have driven cars better than this. But right now, I'm using my keke napep in righteousness. Listen, people will understand that there is something you believe, that you know, that made you look at material things and count them as dung. What are we talking about? Paul was an influential, comfortable young man until he believed. Then he became an object of stoning. Where is he? That place. They carry stones and start pursuing him about. This was the man that they used to give. Rulers would give letters that Paul is coming. Give him every assistance that he will need. The moment he believed, oh boy, things change. What am I saying there? That is where Satan has his power. He waits at such times and starts tempting people. He doesn't have the kind of power people think he has. He doesn't have it. He cannot just wake up and decide who's going to kill. What he has is the power to tempt. He stands at the point of need and starts telling people, when you were serving me, things were better. And that's where the issue is. Now listen to me. When people now fall for those temptations, you know, my wife, remember, there's this book, Yinka and I went to Kaduna a few weeks ago, Run, Baby, Run, the story of Nicky Cruz. This man was a gangster. a gangster. Get the book and read it. Run, baby, run. Or you can read David Wilkerson's own version, The Cross and the Switchblade. David Wilkerson is a man who preached to him. Nicky Cruz was the head of a gang of boys. The night after he believed, Holy Ghost filled him. He was feeling so free. He had been delivered from the burden of sin that was inside his soul. He was feeling light like air. Almost his feet, he felt they were not touching the grass. He was walking home. That very night, was it the next night, one of the other rival gangs attacked him. This was a man nobody would dare before. Young boy. He said, as that guy attacked, instantly he knew what the guy would do. He didn't have anything. That guy had a knife. For information, he sank the knife through to Nicky Cruz's hand. Not a joke. He wanted to kill him. He said he just knew what was going to happen. First thing he went, he found the antenna of a car and broke it. And he said for him, that was as bad as any knife. He could kill with the antenna of a car. He said he knew all the mistakes that young man would make. The guy will launch forward. He will lose his balance. He will come backward. He will trip the guy and sink the thing into his neck. He knew he would kill this guy in 1 second. And he just followed the thing. He fought, of course, everything just played out. You know what they call temptation? Everything played out. And then suddenly, a scripture dropped in his heart. Can you remember the scripture? The Holy Spirit just told me like if they slap you on the right cheek, turn the left. That was the day he believed though. This guy had injured him, had pushed a knife through his hand. I'm not joking here. He bled so much, he became weak. And next thing, he knocked that guy, and he had the guy under his power, time to kill. The Holy Spirit told him that thing. He just threw away the instruments in his hand, kicked the guy ran away. His friends couldn't believe it. Two of them believed that night. Many of them believed, but his closest friend also believed. By the time they found him later in the hospital, the other one had gone back to join the gang. Because suddenly he felt exposed. He said, this wouldn't happen while we're inside the gang. Next thing he knew that his friend went back to the gang. Because they told him that, look, we know what did that, who did that. We are going to kill him. He also didn't want to bother. He had left everything for God. He said, of course, Jesus was not that. This guy is now soft. He's now soft. But that's what they call temptation. That is what they call what? Temptation. But the man made up his mind, I have put my hand on the plow and I will not look back. Listen, that is where Satan gets power over people. Sometimes people want to walk with Christ small and do the other things on the side. I remember one day, one guy, those days in church, he was a political thug and an usher in church. One day they were beating a rival in church premises. And people came, and they're like, brother, Azumi's name is Andrew. His name is Andrew. Brother Andrew, what's going on? He said, wait, this one is not church, this is politics. That is the temptation we're talking about. That is where Satan has his power. When people fall for his temptation, then he gets a hold in their lives. We must understand this. Satan does not have the kind of power people think he does. His number one most used, most potent temptation power is the power to tempt. Which means he needs you to agree. So he walked into the garden and said to Eve, has God really said, madam, sorry to disturb you, I know you are busy. Has God really said, you must not eat of this and this and this and that? And he said, you know the rest of the story. If he had power, why would he do that amount of talking? He didn't have it. The only power he had was to tempt. So he kept on talking to this woman until she fell for it. And when she fell for it, are you getting my point? Then he now had some power, not too much, a little bit of it in their lives. And then he was able to talk to the husband. And once the husband fell, bam, the guy grabbed power over everybody. His power came because he fell into his temptation. And Paul, writing about it later, said, his power of death, what the Bible calls the power of death, is still reigning over men because they continue to sin. Please bear that in mind. What I'm explaining is very important. Now, I was saying something earlier, which is why I went into that. Satan doesn't have the kind of power people think he does. What people do is to play into his hands. And this is how he holds men in retardation, so that they cannot progress, so that they cannot prosper. This is how he does it, when he brings out the temptations. I said something earlier, that God has set some things out there. Now, listen to me, I'm back to what there's something I wanted to get into. I just need to explain that one first. God has put some things out there in life. I said, principles have been spoken by God. The laws of this life have been spoken by the Lord. And whatever he has joined together, we must not put asunder. And I said I want to talk about the principle of descendants. Remember that. Now, we need to read this, and then it will help me just to, you know, kick on into that particular discussion, this matter of descendants. Now, I want to also look again at the story of Gehazi, which you find in the 2 Kings, chapter 5. Just go a little, 2 Kings, all right, chapter 5. Now, because we all know the story, I'll just give us a short background. It's something that most of us have read before as Christians growing up. I just want to give us a short background and then read the part of it that I want. You know the story of Naaman? Naaman was a leper who was a Syrian or an Aramean. And he was sent to Israel, okay, to go and get his leprosy cleansed. He came to Elisha. Elisha did not even go out. Elisha just said, go and dip in the Jordan 7 times. And then he dipped in the Jordan 7 times. And then his flesh came back clean. And of course, because of his excitement, he wanted to give Elisha a lot of gifts. And there is nothing wrong with giving the prophet a lot of things. It's just that Elisha said later, that time was not right. Everything has a season. Everything has a time. And that was not the right time. But Gehazi, who was so surprised that his master would allow those kind of goodies to just go, decided to go and get it by telling lies. You remember the story? You do?
Yes.
All right. Okay. I want to be sure you do. So, let's now read what happened. In verse 15, verse 15 is when the man was, when he came to see Elisha. Verse 20 says, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, behold, my master has spared this Naaman, the Aramean, by not receiving from his hands what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw, of course, let me just jump so as to save time. Of course, when Naaman saw him coming, go down to verse 23. Naaman said, be pleased to take 2 talents and all of those things. And then Gehazi took all of those things, and then he went back home. He hid them, and then he deposited in his house and sent the men who assisted him away. In verse 25, now look at that. But when he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, where have you been, Gehazi? And he said, your servant went nowhere. Then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time, he said, to receive money and to receive clothes and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female servants? He said, therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever. So he went out from his presence, a leper, as white as snow. I read all of this to bring out the issue of descendants. It is interesting that Naaman, Gehazi, was the one that stole. His son did not steal. His grandson did not steal. Do you understand my point? None of them stole apart from Gehazi. Yet, the prophet said, this leprosy will be upon you and upon your descendants. I said something earlier. We can't go into analyzing the details of the scriptures right now. But I want to bring out a particular principle. I said something earlier that when the curse is released, each person has to plug into it. In the same manner, if a blessing is released, let me not talk about curses alone. Each person has to plug into the blessing. When David received a blessing from God, and God blessed his descendants, he put a caveat there that if they will obey my commandments the way you have also obeyed. And when they did not obey, you know what happened to them. Are you getting my point? So bear that in mind. When God releases a blessing or releases a curse, and it says it's upon descendants, this is where I'm going. Descendants are not just those who you give birth to naturally. Because naturally speaking, you and I are not descendants of Abraham. Two of us. But let me ask you, in reality, are we descendants of Abraham? Yes. How? By faith. That is, anyone who does the work of Abraham, which is faith in the word of God, is a descendant of Abraham. That was why John warned them, don't deceive yourself shouting that we have Abraham for our father. Natural descent doesn't matter. You know, I keep on saying this thing, and I like to drop it everywhere Christians gather. Christians still preach today that the Jews are special people. So if you want to be blessed, embrace a Jew. If you want to be blessed, embrace a Christian. Why? He said, but God said to them, whoever blesses you, I will bless. But the Bible says all the promises of God are only confirmed in Christ Jesus. And he said, henceforth, there is no distinguishing between Jew or Gentile. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. Paul said, this is a special revelation. Ephesians chapter 3, thereabout. He explained that the wall of partitioning between Jews and Gentiles have been broken. So the same promises apply to everybody. But those promises are only confirmed in Christ Jesus. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The principle is faith, which produces works. You and I are descendants of Abraham because we are of the faith of Abraham. Any Jew that wants to quote that he's a descendant of Abraham must be of the faith of Abraham. In the same manner, listen, let's go to the negative side, which is what we're trying to address. In the same manner, the descendants of Gehazi are not those that Gehazi gave birth to. I said earlier that God releases words into the air. He does. And when those words go out, each person activates his portion. Elisha said, the leprosy of Naaman will not depart from Gehazi and his descendants forever. You know what that means? If today, any man, any woman does the works of Gehazi, they get the leprosy of Naaman. Because they have become descendants of Gehazi. You say, okay, what is the leprosy of Naaman? There are different types of leprosy. The summary of it is shame. It is something that puts a blot on all your success. Naaman was very successful, but he was a leper. Do you get my point? It is something that spoils every joy that comes into your life. Anyone who does the works of Gehazi gets the leprosy of Naaman. That's what descendants are. Descendants are not those who are naturally born. A man can give birth to a child naturally, and that child is not really his descendant. Because if that child does not have the faith of Abraham, of the father, if he doesn't do the works of the father, Paul said it, we are the true circumcision who worship in spirit. True circumcision is a spiritual thing. It is not the thing that is outside. Real descendants are those who do the spiritual works, not those who have the natural ancestry to show. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, bear that in mind. The next statement I want to make is this. You know, I talked about how to change your life. The next statement I want to make is this. Every single thought pattern, which of course produces actions, every single one, including whether you greet your father in the morning or you don't, including whether you grumble about against your boss behind his back or you don't, including whether you pray for the government or you don't, or whether you speak against the government or you don't, Every single one, God has attached either a blessing or a curse. Did you hear what I said? All people are breaking curses, who are digging things up. Many of them are still doing things that God has tied to curses. For example, disobedience to the word of God, to the express commandment of God, is like the sin of witchcraft. It still brings forth death, whether God talks again or it doesn't. Let me quickly talk about Jesus Christ, because one of the things, when I was praying, one of the things I said to the Lord is that one of the things I want to achieve is to raise Jesus Christ up again to where God wants him to be, so that people can look up to him and be healed. Do you understand my point? Anyone that focuses on him, do you understand, is the one that's healed. He says, as Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So whoever believes, that is, who looks intently at him, will be healed, will be saved. That's how it is. And these days, we undermine and understate the importance of the power of the blood of Jesus. Listen, there's a story I told before many times, which is a very beautiful story to illustrate the power of the blood of Jesus. A man, Paul Ginodo, I saw him on TV a few months ago. He's still preaching, I think he's based in the UK now. Paul Ginodo was born a Muslim. He went to school. His mother sent him away from the rivalry in their polygamous home to go to school abroad. So he couldn't pray his prayer normally as a Muslim was supposed to. And according to him, when I read the story in his book, as a good Muslim, you must pray 5 times a day. You must pray that 5 times every day. And if you don't pray it that day, you pray it next day. If you don't pray it for 1 year, you pray it the following year. So if you miss it for 1 year, the only way to make it up is to pray 10 times a day for 1 year. Or just stay in one spot and be praying until you finish counting. That was what he said. And the day he gave his life to Christ, it was because somebody invited him for a meeting. And he saw the miracle power of God demonstrated. A crippled man who he saw there got up and walked. The person happened to be sitting beside him. So there was no story. It was somebody he saw himself. Not that somebody went to the front and they don't know where the person came from. No, the person was with him. So he didn't think there was nothing wrong with being a Muslim. It's just that when they told him that Jesus Christ forgives errors. So he calculated that 4 years, no prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? He counted the amount of prayers he was owing. And when they said that Jesus Christ will forgive, he said, well, Jesus is easier to follow since he will not bother to count the prayers he had not prayed. So he just moved over to the other side. Are you getting my point? That was how he got his deliverance. You understand? Of course, later on, he began to learn the gospel and all of that. What I like his story is the prayer forgiveness. How he got forgiven of the prayers that he was supposed to pray that he did not pray. Listen, I said, what God has joined together, no man can put it asunder. Everything we've done in our lives, which really come out of thoughts, because God says, first of all, I test the heart. I check what is inside the heart before I even look at what the person is doing outside. So based upon that, everything we have done in life has a curse or has a blessing. Do you understand my point? Unfortunately, because the heart of man is exceedingly wicked, most of the things we have are curses. That's a matter of fact. Have you ever read it before that God promised us 70 years to live? You've heard that thing before? But I hope you know it's not true. Yes, I've heard powerful men of God quote it. I wonder how they read it. It was a lamentation of Moses. Moses lamented that the days of our years are only 70 years now. Even the ones that are strong amongst them, they make it to be 80. And if you look at it, it makes sense because 20 years and above would die in the wilderness, right? So men were dying 50, 60, and all of that. And Moses wasn't used to it. The day Pharaoh saw Jacob, his mouth dropped. He says, sir, how old are you? The Egyptians did not used to live as long as the descendants of Abraham. So this one, that I'm looking at something. The reason why we celebrate 70, 80 years is simple. The whole world lies under a curse. That's what I'm saying. And we keep on tapping into it by the things that we do. For things to go wrong is natural because of the kind of works that men do. Now, this is what Jesus did. And always, I must emphasize it. Jesus literally died so as to wipe out every curse that we had bought with our hands, with our actions, with our thoughts. He did. Everyone who believes on him, your judgment that was due you was paid for on the cross. Are you getting what I'm saying? Every single one. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus, that one that you did before, do you get my point? Has been removed and it is now being put on Jesus. You know, I said, but I did them last year and Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago. You must understand, the crucifixion of Jesus doesn't really have a time. The way God is saying it, he's constantly, essentially, all right, being crucified for you. You know why? Because that blood is being presented before the throne of God daily. The Bible says he has entered once and for all into that holy place with his blood. He never came out. Are you getting my point? He entered. So that is why he's constantly. So he did it last year. So what? He's still covered. The day you believe is the day your own part of the blood is activated. Are you getting my point? We must understand that. So that is what Jesus does for us. Okay, there's a second part of it which I don't have the liberty to talk about now. All right? We'll, maybe another time we'll talk about that. All right? Now, but so bear that one in mind. Now, having done that, what we now do as Christians is what is called the works of faith. Now, remember that portion of the scriptures we read? Now, let me review something I said earlier. Every action, all right, has a blessing, a curse attached. Do you understand my point? Yeah, it does. That's how it is. But I need to clarify the fact that the ones we did before we believed, and again, the ones we did after we believed, but which we went to God in repentance and we confessed, they are also covered by the blood of Jesus. Are you getting my point? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, he's faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is not just, don't worry about it. Forgiveness is, I remove the consequences. That's what forgiveness is. I hope you understand my point there. All right, so those things are covered. But I want to bring out an issue here. Now, why are people often stagnated? This is the issue. I'm trying to see how to balance this so that I won't get people confused. I said earlier that there are things you do and God has already placed a word against it. We use Gehazi as an example. Now, we read that Psalm 34 just to emphasize something. That he said, come ye children, listen to me, and I will do what? I will teach you the fear of God. And he now began to list blessings that are attached to the fear of God. Are you seeing that? Now, go back to the verse 9 in Psalm 34. Verse 11, sorry. It said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of God. Now, he began to teach. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? This is what the person should do. He should keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. The person should depart from evil and do good. The person should seek peace and pursue it. He said, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Verse 16 says, the face of the Lord is against evildoers. Now, David was saying all of these things to emphasize to us why we must learn the fear of God. And I'm saying to us Christians, this is where the problem often is. We don't learn the fear of God. Many of the things we do, which are natural. First, let me emphasize that. When David said, come, you children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of God. That tells you something. The fear of God must be taught. Did you hear what I said? It never comes to you naturally. The fear of God must be taught. It never comes to anybody naturally. In fact, I'm already jumping ahead of myself. Number one reason I can say these days why Christians are stagnated is because they are totally ignorant. They don't know what is right to do in the matters of righteousness. They don't know what is right to do in the matters of right precepts with which to live life. I'll develop that further. He said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of God. Anything that we do naturally is most likely wrong. Did you hear what I said? I'll give a few examples. But let's start with the giving, you know, the habit of giving in life. Children is not something, they are not born with it. You have to teach them how to release, how to give things. Otherwise, they hold on to everything. That's just a basic example. All right? There's another one that's very common in Christianity. As people begin to grow, they learn the wrong things of life. They think anything they are going to get from God must be based on what they have already done for God. I'm sure at least half of the people here believe that. That God only does for you based on what you have done for him. I won't tell you to say amen if you believe it, but I can assure you of one thing, it's a lie. Did you hear what I said? Do you know, it is amazing. Till now, most Christians don't know that. I thought it was very basic. But this is the issue. They have never learned it. So they still go around life trying to do for God so that he might do back for them. And like I say all the time, unfortunately, that activates, listen to this, it does not activate a blessing, it activates a curse. It doesn't. It is called self-righteousness. Are you getting my point? It does not activate a blessing. It activates a curse. Once you go around life with a mentality that the only thing I get out of God is based upon what I have done for him first. You may think he's supposed to bring a blessing for you because you actually think you're doing something for him. But that mindset, that attitude towards life does not bless you at all. It energizes Satan in your life. You say what? Because he is an accuser of the brethren. And anytime we plead works, he always stands there to plead what we did not do. And I can assure you of one thing. Until you become 100 years old, the number of things you did not do will always be more than the number of things you did. Why did I choose 100 years? I don't know. I just assume that's how long it take you to learn to be able to do 51% right all the time. Say, Pastor Banky, are you saying that you also do more than 50% wrong? I can assure you that Banky in the flesh does that. But Banky in the spirit, you can't count. I'm hidden under the power of the blood of Jesus. So anything when I've done that's not correct is corrected. Do you understand my point? I'll explain the principle for you. Let me just explain something to you. You might say, what are you talking about? How many people remember Job in the Bible? The Bible said that he was of all men most righteous. There was nobody like Job. So Job was upright in all his ways. Yet when God stood against Job in judgment, Job was hearing things he did not know they were sins. I don't know what you get my saying. When Job was saying, I've done everything right, God said, let me talk to you. He said, when I was making the earth, where were you? Where was I supposed to be? Then they said, write it down against him. Absenteeism during creation. Job was like, what are you talking about? He said, have you been able to arrange the stars and do this and that? Job was like, why would I be able to do that? Write it down. Inability to correct the constellations of the stars. You may say that, but why should a man know how to do that? I'll quickly drop something for you. Adam was supposed to be able to do it. He said, I've given you dominion. Do you understand what I mean? Adam had dominion. Adam would have been able to look at how the weather pattern was and say, this is not right. Henceforth, the sun, the rainy season should start 2 weeks later or 1 month later. And after a while, things will rearrange. Because the man had dominion. The fact that Job did not have dominion, the dominion only showed he was a sinner. Job did not have dominion was a sign of iniquity. I read the story once. Then Kenneth Hagin was telling the story of Novahis. He went to Novahis' house. Listen to me, how God counts sin. If you want to be counting, I've done right, I've not done right. He went to the house of Novahis. And Novahis has one daughter. That's the only relative he has. His wife left him, just walked out of him one day. He didn't remarry, he just has one daughter. He used to live together, his little child, or well, a big girl. And Novahis said, no, can I get notice that the girl had warts on her hand, skin lesions. And he looked at it and said to the girl simply, I could curse those things and they would die. That I would speak against them and they would die. Do you know, if anything goes wrong with your children, God holds you responsible. Why are you giving offering? One day, one of my children injured his head in the house. I started crying. I don't know why. I just understood it was my fault and I was not there. I wasn't there. No, Kenegi said, he looked at, Kenegi didn't look at his daughter's hands and said to the girl, because they're very good friends, said, I could curse those things, they would die. And something struck me. He did not. He made the statement and ignored it and continued using it with his friend. After he left, he said the Holy Spirit grabbed Novahis and said, you are an irresponsible father. Why? Novahis said he did not even know until that day the girl had what on her hands. So he took it upon himself and said, these things you are going away. And he began to curse them. And the man is very good with that kind of thing. In fact, he said the Lord told him on how to heal cancer. That if any cancer patient will agree with him, they will sit down together and curse the cancer for weeks. It will run away. The man began to curse those things in the hand of the, on that girl's hand until they ran. What am I going to explain? Job thought he was doing righteousness because he gave alms. He saw one woman. He carried the eye away. That's not my wife. God said, it is good. When they compared him with all the people on the earth, he was the most righteous. Oh God, there are deep things to say about the scriptures. I used to wonder why the God, you know, go and read your scriptures. Do you know it was not Satan that brought up the matter of Job? Go and read your Bible. It was God. Satan was just passing. God said, oh boy, come. Where are you coming from? He said, from walking up and down the surface of the earth. He said, in all your travels, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, I saw him once and I decided he was not worthy of our troubles because you have surrounded him with a hedge round about. You have blessed the works of his hand, so we realize it is not necessary to be wasting time with him. Let's go somewhere else. It was God that said, okay, come. Let's have an arrangement. Satan said, what kind of arrangement? That guy, you know, he's serving you for what you have done for him. He said, good, that's what I'm talking about. Let me remove those things. Let's see what will happen. There were a number of things that happened there. One, God put Job in there to teach us a lesson. One of the most powerful messages I ever heard in my life was when God sent a man of God to come and preach one of our conventions. And before the man began preaching, he mentioned my name. When I told my wife said, are you sure? I played the tape for her. I said, look at what he said. Pastor Banky, hear this. The man preached from the book of Job. My life changed. He said Job was placed in the scriptures to cure the backsliding of saints forever. That is, there is nothing any child of God will go through that he will be able to say, God, you have been unkind to me. All God will do is give you Job to read and say, have you suffered like Job? Are you getting the point? That God placed the book of Job there to cure the backsliding of saints forever. That there is nothing you want to say you went through. That God will say, read Job. That after this one happened to Job, what did he do? He still knelt down and he worshipped. So you, before you open your mouth to say that you have sowed the seed, after all the offerings I gave, God didn't give it back. God said, kneel down there, my friend, shut your mouth and begin to worship. That's very true. That's one thing. But the second thing that thing did, listen to this. This was the second thing that happened. Job had reached the peak of where human righteousness could take anybody to. And all the money he had, Aliko Dangote will spend 10% of his income and still richer than Job. I don't know what I heard I said. For all the things they said Job had, Otedola in Lagos will sell a few boats and he's richer than Job. That is just terrible. Go and sell this one, outshine Job. What did Job get? Believe me, buy a decent 737 Boeing and Job is the pauper. Read your Bible now. All the noise I'm making, Job was very prosperous, very prosperous. A modern day man, say, what kind of paupers did they have those days? But for his time, it was great. Are you getting my point? It was great. But that tells you something. The righteousness of men at that time could not produce beyond that level of environmental prosperity. Listen, I found out, I meditated about this for years. Over the last few weeks, God gave me understanding. Wealth is not any man's doing. It's a gift of God. The only thing you find on the earth is the distribution. That is what men labor for. Who will control it? But as for the creation of wealth, God just reigns it. Nobody creates wealth. Only God reigns it. All the righteousness of man, the best he could do was to make Job the richest man. Who will not... Job, if Forbes lists the richest man in the world today, Job will not make number 5,000. Not because Job was bad. He was a good businessman. But the amount of prosperity in the environment now is so great that the man who's number 5,000 worldwide is richer than Job. And as long as Job was the most righteous of the men, the earth could not prosper more than it did. So God said, what do we do? Let us go and teach them a new level of righteousness by removing confidence in that type of righteousness. So God released Satan on Job. It was not Satan. Satan thought it was a bad business. You know why I'm telling that story? Because when the man was going around thinking he was righteous, there was a limit to the amount of products he could bring onto the earth. There was a limit to the amount of godliness he could bring into this life. There was a limit. Why? He was looking at man like himself, and he knew he was better than them all. Then when God wanted to talk with Job, you know what God did? God brought a new standard of righteousness. I started talking about creation. Started talking about redesigning the universe. Started talking about God as the height, that is the reference point for righteousness. Job, after that, he felt dirty. Do you get my point? Job realized that, oh boy, I have not done anything right. Are you getting my point? That's why I tell Christians, listen, if you want to go around thinking you have done anything right, you will never prosper far in life. All this one that you think that your key to prosperity is your first fruits, your tithes, your regular offerings, is the reason why you will not do well. I said it like that deliberately. You still think it's the reason you will prosper. You won't go far. You will get a job. Don't forget. Don't mind me. You will get a job. You will be the best paid of all the brethren amongst yourselves. And you see earning a salary that an unbeliever is paying. An unbeliever will sign the check and give it to you. And you will go home and worship the Lord for what an unbeliever gave you from his pocket change. Why? Because you're a good tither, first fruit man, a good offerings man. God said, why don't we just change the gear? Continue doing your good works. I have no objections. But take your eyes away from your good works as the platform upon which prosperity is coming. Please, remove your eyes. Lift up your eyes and fix your eyes on the cross of Jesus. And if you are persistently fixed upon that, I will make men like Aliko Dangote book appointments to talk to you. That's what we're talking about. I jumped a huge part of the message I wanted to preach. But I think the Holy Spirit wanted it like that. I wanted to build up before I got to this particular point, but I've jumped a huge chunk of it into talking about the different mindsets that people have. I was just giving this as an example. That every mindset you have attracts a blessing or has been tied to a curse. And the problem Christians have, this is their major problem, is that they don't know anything. And they are not trying to learn. Listen, God cannot change your situation until he changes your mind. He cannot change your state in life right now until he rearranges the way your mind works, your heart, your thought pattern, your thinking processes. He cannot. I didn't say he will not. He doesn't have that. He didn't put it into himself for this dispensation to do such things. He didn't. I said something the other day when I was preaching. I said, with God, 15 naira and $10 million, they are the same thing. Do you know that? They are exactly the same thing. What he's waiting for in the lives of his children is for them to love $10 million just as much as they love 15 naira. You know, most people don't like, they don't love 15 naira. You know that? If they are 15 naira lost, you know, they won't bother to look for it. They wonder, what happened? Maybe I threw it away. And they keep going. They can actually hand it to somebody who is needy, who can handle it. Are you getting my point? You may say that, so what are you talking about? God said, look, by the time I build your spiritual capacity, your heart capacity to that level, anything you can do with 50 naira, you understand? That you can do maybe with $1 million, I will make $1 million as common to you as 50 naira is today. But you see, it's not just, oh Lord, do it. I lay hands on you. Right now, receive it. Oh, I fall down. Then I get up. I say, you see, I have received the ability to spend $1 million like 50 naira. It's a lie. You're in a hurry to get something you can't handle. What God does is to build you up gradually. I'm watching my time. What God does is to build you up gradually. You know what he said? Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cleansed the lepers, opened the blind eyes, crippled walked. But when he saw poor people, he said, come back for the seminar. That's what he said. He said, the blind see the dead, the dead are raised, everything. He said, but the poor, they have the gospel preached to them. They need to hear it. Listen, if a man lays hands on you suddenly, your life will only change for 24 hours. Did you hear what I said? Any anointing that you give in, get in an instant by the laying of hands, it also disappears after a short instant. That is how it works. If you say you are in the midst of poverty now, then you go and a man prays for you, and then tomorrow you have a breakthrough. Maybe you needed 10,000 naira and 50,000 naira just came the next day. That is the last 50,000 that is coming. Did you hear what I said? When you finish spending it, that is the end of it. You go and look for the man. The anointing has finished. Oh, it's not a joke. The widow of Zarephath, when Elijah got to his house, that was the only house he could come to. All the other widows, forget. If you like, give your, you know, very common with us Pentecostals. One man of God will now come and say, I was in Lagos. One man gave his last money and God gave him breakthrough. I went to Abuja. One man gave his last car. And they suddenly bought a sheep. I went to Port Harcourt, and one man gave his head, then he has 17 heads. Listen. Did those things happen? 9 times out of 10, they did not happen. The man is lying. God, you know, I have to tell them the truth now so that they won't be the same. Most, 9 out of 10, I've seen them lie. Do such things happen? Yes. Once in a while. Yes, they do. They do. Once in a while. But it's the last time, it happens to everybody only once. After God has done it for you once, it's the last one. He's the last one. He's always the last one. That's how he does it. It can happen to you once. So after that, but okay, forget it. God says, I know go and read the children of Israel. When they enter the wilderness, they chop manna. The moment they enter into the promised land, God said, I have given you cycles of life. There is seed time and harvest. If you do not sow at the proper time, The harvest time, you no go see food. All this emergency manna from heaven. It's only for short crisis times. Nobody ever gets those. And listen, let me tell you something quickly. Let me just drop this one quickly. In case you want to follow the widow of Zarephath, follow her properly. You have a risk in your life if you are following the widow of Zarephath and you don't follow it properly. Please, go and read my book. I don't know where I still have copies remaining. Great faith can be yours. Please, in fact, good. Go and read that book. You say, I don't have money to buy it. Download it. It's free on the internet, on our website. The download is free. PDF. Click, boom, drops on your tab. It's free. So that you know that I'm not trying to sell book. But please, buy the book because you need to read. I wrote that whole book to explain to you why the widow of Zarephath did what she did. Because if you don't understand it, you'll be so gullible in this life. Every man of God that's looking for money will take you for a ride. And you still will not get anything. Just for emphasis, widow of Zarephath, why did she believe a stranger? No, think about it. I just enter your house. The food will not finish. Just give me the one you have right now. Let me eat it. If you believe me, either you're a complete idiot or you have a revelation from God. It's one of the two. There's no middle of the way. A stranger shows up and says, please, can I have transport money to go here? He said, okay, all the money I have now is just this 2,000 naira. And if I don't pay it, I won't write my exam tomorrow. He said, don't worry. You never seen me before. Thus is the Lord. Just give me that 2K. Go to the exam hall. Because your fees shall be paid and you shall pass the exam. If you hand it to me, it's one of two things. Either your head is totally not correct, or you know something other people don't know. And for the widow of Zarephath, that was what happened. But most importantly, let me just quickly drop. That's what I want to drop before I go on, all right? Most importantly for the widow of Zarephath, she was a habitual giver. She did not learn giving the day she saw Elijah. Most Christians learn giving the day the pastor shows up. Just in case you did not know, that's why you have not received anything. Only two groups of people get anything under those circumstances. Those who totally do not know anything, that is their first exposure to light, they obey, they will get something. Then those who they have been habitual as givers for a long time. And maybe that is the day that God just said, do one more thing and something will happen to you. Those are the only two people. All the other people who are looking for emergency breakthrough, who don't want to obey God as a habit, they won't get anything. You know what I was trying to explain when I went into that? That transformation is first a total renewal of your inside. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, it's a first total renewal of your inside before God can change your outside. Most Christians have not had their minds changed about anything in the last 8 years. They are wondering why their lives have not changed in 8 years. Listen, 6 years ago, you began to pray to God for a wife or a husband. 6 years after, he hasn't answered. I give you a challenge. Go and ask yourself. Has anything changed in my thought processes in 6 years? If it hasn't, I have just given you the reason why you have not received an answer. God is saying to you simply, I don't like your mindset. That's all he has said simply. I don't like your mindset. And until you change it, I cannot do anything new that I have not been able to do in 6 years. Why did 6 years pass? I was giving you these 6 years to change the way you reason. Listen. Please, I'm watching my time, so I'm trying to make a point so we can close. Christians are stagnated because they don't increase in their knowledge of God. Let me tell you something. Your life will never change until your inside changes. And your inside will not change until you are exposed to a different set of factors. Until you are exposed to a different set of factors compared to what you have been exposed to for a long time. I said something the other day. One brother sent me an email later. I said, that word was prophetic. I said, you have gone to the same church for 8 years. You have listened to the same pastor. And he says, don't listen to anybody else apart from me. And your life is still on one spot. If you are still going there, you are a glutton for punishment. You are begging for stagnation. A man says, listen to me alone. I'm the only man of God. You have listened to him alone for 8 years. For 8 years, nothing significant has changed around you. And you are still insisting that this is the only man of God. I'll still listen to him. You should know that you love punishment. And let me tell you where your punishment will end. In fact, it will not end. It will not end. It will not end. It will only end, listen to me, when something new is flowing into your heart, thereby causing your heart to start changing. Listen, I said something earlier, that God has released words, tied things together. Many of the thought patterns we have in this life have been tied to poverty. They have been tied to mediocrity. They have been tied to I will not make progress. Oh, I don't want to start. I'm watching my time very closely. I don't want to start some of them. Let's take about money as an example. There's one I see all the time. All right? Just interesting about money. Anybody who looks... Now, listen to what I'm going to say now. I want to say this one because it applies many ways. Please, don't mind me. I have many things I want to say. So, I'm having an issue trying to keep them to queue up. And I'm watching my time at the same time, you know? But let me just drop this one. It will help us. It will enlighten us a bit and then we'll go. This is how you know people are not planning to prosper much. They will get a good job. It will be okay, but they won't do a lot of prosperity. They will sit down with their friends, put a chair down, and take somebody like Bishop David Oyedepo, all right? And tear him to shreds. Why? Because he charges half a million naira a year for university students. And they make statements like, what is he doing with the money? These rich people, they even have no mercy on the poor. At the end of the day, use the money to buy private jet. It'd be flying up and down. And let me just tell you something, because I don't have time to develop it. For every minute you spend saying that, one extra day has been added to your poverty. Don't feel too bad. You know, because I told you earlier, if you confess your sins, Jesus will wipe away the punishment. Did I not say so? So don't feel too bad. I can say that with confidence. And for those who, they won't change their minds. 1 week for every minute. No, I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm a teacher of truth. I'm just telling you what is true. Do you know why? One, the Bible makes it clear, you must never talk about what you don't know about. I don't have time to look through what James said about that. James said in such a manner that even frightened me. That do you know that Michael, the archangel, could not rail accusations against Satan? The only thing he could say is the Lord rebuke you. The Satan that me and you want to chew, want to say, you know, go better for you. You know, that Michael looked and gave the guy some respect. I don't know whether you get my point. Yet, we will sit down here. You take a man who's older than you in age, has been preaching longer than you have been breathing, has transformed lives here and there, has changed people's environments and societies and their mindset, has preached faith to an extent that many people will never even know exists in life. And you are not even afraid. Even if it did wrong, it is beyond your mouth to say it. Think we are talking about T.B. Joshua here. We are talking real men of God. Now, please, I'm not. Look, those of you who know me well, you know I don't go to Winner's Chapel. So it's not, I'm not defending my bishop. Do you get my point? I'm defending truth. Just to drop it, if Bishop Oyedepo charges half a million naira a year for tuition fees in Covenant University, it's because somebody else is paying the balance. I'm a university lecturer that money can't cover. Oh, here, I'm not kidding about it. That money cannot cover. One day I did analysis amongst my brethren. of how much it takes to pay the lecturers alone. If the school has to pay for College of Medicine students, each student has to pay $1.2 million a year. And that does not cover the hall. It does not cover the bursar's fees. It does not cover the library. It does not cover anything, just the money to pay the lecturers. I did a breakdown on what they need for accreditation. I did a breakdown on the number of lecturers, what the lecturers earn, and I came to a simple arithmetic. It costs 1.2 million naira a year in College of Medicine to pay lecturers alone. It does not cost include the cost of the building. It does not include the cost of cutting the grass, or children eating, or feeding, or drinking water. It doesn't. Just to pay the lecturers that come and teach. If they only use their salary, their fees, each of them will have to pay 1.2 million a year. I could talk about that because that's my field. One of my friends, he's a professor of law in the United States. Emeka said, when he heard us talk, he said, finally, one of our brothers wrote an article first. He said, finally, I'm hearing insight that is so rare that discussion on this subject is impossible. He's a professor of law. He said, when most people talk, they talk so empty, he can't answer. So when one of our brothers now wrote something, before I wrote what I wanted to say, he said, gosh, so some people actually know what is going on. Just by the way, he invited one man to come and speak to his students. They said the man doesn't charge fees, though. He's free. He's a big man. But to fuel his jet to come, $200,000. The guy, he canceled the invitation. Said, thank you. Don't come again. Don't come again. Yet, you see small boys all over the place. They sit down and be eating bad suya. This man of God, they don't want people to prosper. After God has lifted them up. Talking nonsense. And they are wondering why they are going for interviews and nobody's employing them. Every time they see a man prosper beyond them, they are angry. And they think they are righteous. They don't realize that everything. You know, he said, honor your father and your mother that may be well with you, that you may live long in the land which the Lord thy God has given to you. Listen, that honor your father and your mother has some extra ramifications. So you don't look like spiritual, you don't look at spiritual fathers and mother and be cursing them every day, and you want it to be well with you. You smoke something, he can't be well with you. Honestly, that's why David said, come you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Why? Because many of the things you are doing are the reasons why God can't bless you, even though he wants to. Hey, sometimes I see men and women, in fact, yeah, maybe women, when you see young girls talk about husband, I say one of two things. Either you won't find one, or if you find it, you will never be happy with this mindset. That is, you just hear them talk. I said, listen, a husband is not a boyfriend. No, there's a world of difference. Boyfriend, husband are two different things. Classmates and husband, two different things. Brother in church and husband, two different things. My senior brother at home and husband, two different things. In fact, the only thing that's like husband is husband. You need a special skill. Paul wrote to Titus, said, let the older women teach the young ones how to do this thing. Because experience, eh? What I'm trying to say is that, listen, if your heart is wrongly arranged, if it's wrongly arranged, it's repelling blessings. That's what I'm trying to say. And the only way, now let me say this and I close with it. The only way you can arrange it properly, that's actually the main meat. The only way you can arrange it properly, David said, how can a young man, it applies to a young woman too, keep his way pure? He said, it's only by keeping it according to your word. Listen, again, I recommend that you read my book, How to Walk for God. I am begging you to read it. I so want you to read it that right now I made up my mind. Felix, 200 naira. How? I don't care. Please. That is the look. You say I bought yesterday. Go and buy another one. So that is it. Yeah, how much are you selling before? It's normally 500, right? You discarded yesterday at 25%. Today, please, 200. I want you to read it. Because many Christians are offering what the Bible calls the sacrifice of fools. He said, guard your steps when you draw near the temple of God. He said, draw near to listen, rather than to draw near and be offering the sacrifice of fools. He said, the fools don't even realize they are committing iniquity. They brought an offering to God, though. That is, they brought an offering to God, and God said, this offering is a sin. Why? Because they did not draw near to listen. There are many people who are serving God so that God will prolong their lives. Do you know that? And they don't know that one day, when Moses wanted to serve God, God decided to kill him. Moses was not going to die until he answered the call of God for his life. And the day he started, God said, give me a sword, let's kill him. God called him, preserved him, kept him, age of 80. Through all the serpents couldn't bite him to kill him. Scorpion couldn't sting him to kill him. Pharaoh was looking for him those days, could not find him to kill him. Yet the day he said, let us serve God. On the road, the Bible says God came to kill him. The day I read that, and I said, are you sure there's no Hebrew word that is missing here? You know the way we Bible teachers like to do it. The original Hebrew for that was interpreted kill here doesn't really mean kill. It means to take away the first that he might establish the second. Actually, when he was saying kill, he was saying that his outer man would have to be removed so that his inner man... Oh, that one, I just... Bobo was going to die, and Bobo was going to be buried. How do I know? Zipporah quickly circumcised their son, and God left from killing him. I'm serving God does not preserve my life. Listen to that. It does not. It doesn't. Some people have given offerings, and God says every offering they give is a passport to poverty. Yeah. You know, the offerings you give, and when you bring the offering like this, you say, Jesus, please move aside. Let's handle this thing. You don't know anything about these things. Do you know the offerings like that? As you are giving the offering, you say, Jesus, you know, we told you to go to school to learn how to die. You didn't learn it properly. Go and see one side. Let me now die for myself. You know the offerings like that? Every offering you give to remove a curse, that's what you are saying. Every offering you give to remove a curse from your life, the curse of the answer. I've heard people say it before, you give an offering for the sins of 3 generations. If the blood of Jesus cannot pay for the sin of 15 generations, our blood is dilute. It was anemic when it was shed. And that is not the blood of my Jesus. If he's like that, why save him? There are things you do as you are doing it. God say, were it not that I know stupidity is his problem, I'm for killer now. Yeah, you know, there are things you do. God will just say, the only reason why I'm not killing this fellow is because I know his ignorance. So, Banky, yes, sir, organize how to change your life. I will send him there, let him go and learn something. It's true. There are offerings that Christians give. And God will just say, it's just because I'm a merciful God, I'm slow to anger. And slow does not mean I won't get there one day. I may be slow eventually. If you don't change, if you don't repent, eventually I'll go reach there. Let me say this, or it'll surprise you. So my giving is my passport to prosperity. It's not. The death of Jesus is your passport to prosperity. It is. So why do I have to give? It's simple. Because I'm a good person. Have you ever seen a good person that doesn't give? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and he went about doing good. He went out doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. If God is with you and you are anointed, you will go around doing good. Giving is a good thing. It is not a sacrifice for prosperity. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Many Christians don't know these things. I'm sorry to say, I have not experienced the depth of ignorance I'm seeing these days in Christianity. They are so ignorant. They actually believe statements like this. God never gives you anything until you have given to him. And you know, they believe it. They carry it around. They start preaching it. Third generation preaching. That is, I hear it from somebody. Who heard it from somebody? Who heard it from somebody? We don't know where it started from. We don't know where it began. And we keep repeating it until the whole society believes it. And God is like, what? Are they talking about me? Me that gave them my only begotten son while they were yet sinners. And Paul said in black and white in Romans chapter 8 that I will freely give them all things. Hey, they still believe that if they don't do for me, I won't do for them. God said, doing starts with me, doesn't start with you. We love him because he loved us first. You know what it means to love? For God so loved that he did what? We gave to him because he gave us first. He doesn't give up because we gave first. Hey, listen, you will break through in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But first, you must dig up all the nonsense that's choking the world from producing your life. God called you for a life of grace, not a life of personal struggles. The only struggle you are allowed to enter into as a Christian is the struggle to enter into his rest. What is that struggle? It is a struggle to believe. Say, God, I must remove every ignorance from my mind. That's what I'm saying today. Look, Felix, apart from the other discounts, on that book, How to Work for God, I wanted to sell it for, how much did I say earlier? 200 naira maximum. Don't let anybody buy more than 5, because so that I can go around. If you want to buy more than 5 after he has gone around, I don't mind. I don't mind. But please let me beg you, if you are buying 5, not to resell, you want to go and give somebody. You understand what I say? But I want it to go around. I don't know how many copies we have left. We have not printed in a while, so it must be very... I don't know how to... You have enough? Okay. I want you to read. You know why I refer to the book? Because the first chapter of the book, I told a story in there. One of our sisters, she saw me on the way, said, Pastor Banky, how are you? I'm fine. Which church do you attend in Lagos? Many of you know Pastor Poju. That was when I was going to his church that time. I said, Covenant Christian Center. Most of my judges didn't know him then. This is just the last few years we got to know him. I said, that's my church. He said, are you actively involved in the church? I said, yes. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm actively involved in listening to him. I said, I'm actively involved in listening to the pastor. I still remember where we were in Ogbowo in Benin on the road. She laughed until she almost knelt down on the road. I said, I'm actively involved in listening to him. You know what they want to hear? I am the head of the ushering unit, the technical department. Listen, you cannot work effectively in ignorance. Are you getting my point? You see empty-headed people go to church, they're always standing outside. You are a new person in the church. They put you in charge of what they call security, and you joined. You don't want to serve God. You don't want to serve God. If you wanted to serve God, you would say, oh God, please, give me time. Let me go inside first. Let me sit down first. Let me know what I am doing. People feel very spiritual because they're up and down. Kidding, 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 all over church. Walking. Listen, that is the second side of it. The primary side of it. The first one, they came to Jesus. What must we do to walk the walk of God? He said, the walk of God is that you believe. They said, no, you will do. He said, believing is doing. He got to the house of Mary, Lazarus, and Martha. Mary said, he has come. She sat down. He has not eaten. He said, but he's talking. If he's tired of talking, we'll go and cook. He said, he hasn't eaten. He said, if he's that weak, he won't be talking. Yes. Now, Mary, sit down. In the beginning was the word. When Genesis said in the beginning was the word, what he was saying, Mary said, mm-hmm. And let me explain something to you. As the word is entering you, it's transforming you.
Yes.
Listen to me. As you were listening to me this night, some people are getting healed where they are seated.
Amen.
Just by listening this night, somebody has found a wife.
Amen.
Listen, you have not asked for. Just by listening this night, somebody has received a husband.
Amen.
Just by listening, somebody has conceived on that chair.
Amen.
Because the word becomes flesh. Are you getting my point? Many times people are looking for miracles. God says, sit down and hear. When you hear, a miracle is formed inside you. Listen, hearing is the primary thing that God called us to do.
He didn't call us to walk. He didn't call us to do anything. Now, this is a funny part. He did not even call. Now, listen to this. Before you get confused, just listen carefully because I'll quickly correct it. He did not even call us to believe. He called us to hear. And when we hear, faith comes by hearing. Do you understand my point? He said, how can they believe when they have not heard? We are saying believe, believe. He said they can't believe. They have not heard. That hearing must come before believing. When you enter a church, the first thing you must be concerned about is what have I heard? Jonathan, we're in the car today. We're gisting about how the world lies to people every day. And people sit down daily and hear the lies of the world. They will tell you that dollar is now 200 naira. Therefore, economy is going down. And once you believe, you are going down. I said, dollar is 200 naira. He said, doesn't matter. Like what Pastor Murphy said, he said, our currency is in heaven. We will go to faith and convert it to naira. Yes. We said it yesterday. That faith is our mala. The malam that changes dollar. When you have forex, you change it with malam to what? Naira. When you have heaven X, you change it with faith to naira. That one in heaven cannot be corrupted. Do you get my point? It can't be corrupted. The Bible makes it clear that that one in heaven does not rust. Neither do things break in and steal. Rust is another word for inflation. Moth does not work on it. It doesn't decay. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Listen, as you hear these things, God, it starts attracting favor towards you. Listen, somebody listening to me this night, your first million naira is next week because you were listening. Listen, one of the things that God did for me when I went to Lagos was this. Was that, you know, I just finished NYSC. I was a medical doctor that learned how to walk. I didn't learn it. They tried to teach it to me. I refused to learn it. Let me put it like that. They were teaching me how to work 3 jobs a day for 15,000 naira a month. That means each job pays how much? 5K. 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock, first job. 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock, second one. Then 8 to 8, that's the last one for night. So you see the average Lagos young doctor, he has a bag. Don't think the bag is luxury. His whole life's possession is inside there. He doesn't have a house. He sleeps from one clinic to another. So God knew that I was at risk. So you know what he did? He told an angel to go and collect me. The angel brought me to Lagos and planted me in my auntie's house. She was a businesswoman. I used to follow her around. And I saw the way men were making money. The doctor will work 24 hours and make 15,000 naira. Boys will make 5 phone calls and make 35. Did you hear what I said? They didn't steal. I don't mean they were selling cocaine. I mean, normal, legitimate business. Okay, has the car arrived? Okay, how did they arrive? Oh, what are we doing on it? All right, come. Okay, let me get somebody to buy it. They call this person. At the end of the day, 35K. Men will use the 35K to buy a pair of shoes. I forgot to mention that. That was when I needed to work 3 jobs, 24 hours, to earn 15,000 naira a month to buy a car for 100,000 naira that can catch fire. And those days, you know, it doesn't have to catch fire. Thieves, you collect it. No, those thieves were very prophetic. You understand my point? They were obeying the word of God. The Bible says that God has made everything for a purpose. Even the wicked man, for his role in the day, he has to collect a car that the stupid boy bought because he didn't have faith. You understand my point? I looked at it. By the time I saw how God used to bless people, and a scripture now came to me. No, before then, I think I came to a conclusion. I said, God, in this life, if you will not bless me, please let me remain poor. I said, but to struggle like this, I will never do it. It's not the will of God. And a scripture came to me. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. And it said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I said, Lord, this is my word. When they say Naira crashed, I sat down the other day. I said, Lord, well, it's the wealth of the nations. It's dollars, it's pounds, anyone, send them in. I said, God, it's a good time to activate this one in a... I said, it's not in trickles. You said, like an overflowing stream. That's how faith will behave. And listen, he said, what do I need to do?
to experience this, God said, just pay attention and hear it. Once you hear it, it enters into your heart. It is mixed with faith there. Results will come into your life automatically. Listen, somebody is listening to me this night. A time will come when all your transactions, not because you are proud or anything, but because that's the level of people you deal with, will be in foreign exchange. I don't mean you are using Naira to buy Forex. So I mean you are using Forex to trade in Forex. And anytime you need Naira, you convert some of them. Not because you labored, but because you believed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not because you labored, but because you what? You believed. The greatest thing a Christian can do for himself or herself is to settle down like you are settled down this evening and pay attention to the word of God. As this word is coming into you, is healing your sicknesses. Many things you won't even pray about. They will just disappear by themselves. Why? Because the word is alive and is active. And it is entering into you and it is acting inside there. Listen, that word is going forth to convert, to bring forth connection for you. You won't have to be making phone calls and chasing people up and down. Listen, if it's inconvenient, don't bother. You don't need anybody's favor. David said, who do I have in heaven but thee? And for that reason, upon this earth, I have desired no one else. That is, if I have God in heaven, he said, I will send a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. Listen, that's what faith does. Listen, as your mind is being changed, transformed, do you get my point? As it's being transformed, it's attracting good towards you. The major problem we have had as Christians is that we still hold on to things that are tied to curses. We still want to take a wife according to the dictates of the tradition, the village tradition. That is where the problem is. Even when we get the wife, we don't get joy, we don't get happiness. We still relate with money the way the average person relates with money. We still think the most important thing in your life is money. No. Listen, I pray for you that you will have a season of poverty in which you can rejoice. Amen. Oh God, that prayer is deep. You better say a good amen for it. Amen. You need it. That is, listen, that you will get to a point. You know what Paul said? He said, I have learned how to be independent of circumstances. I have learned how to enjoy being down. I have learned how to enjoy when I'm up. He said, whether I'm up or down, in everything I am the same. And I can do all of these things through Christ who strengthens me. Until you can trek with joy and gladness, you won't get a car. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Until you can trek with joy and gladness. And you are going on the road and you say, this is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has... What are you I'm going to the market. Why? I don't have a car. Not yet. I will rejoice. No car, and all the buses in town, they are my car. Anyone I want, I call. Just watch. You, stop. What do they do? They stop. Listen, until you get to that point, you're not ready for a breakthrough. But these things is not by determination. I just want to change. No. It is as the word of God is entering into you that you start changing. The one thing you can do for yourself that you can determine to do. Paul said, labor to enter into his rest. Because anyone who has entered into the rest has ceased from his own works. That's a labor. It's a labor to enter into God's rest. God's rest is that state of heart you are in, which you arrive by the entrance of the word of God, in which you just know that indeed your life is hid with Christ in God. That you are not subject to the surrounding circumstances. It's not just because of determination, but because the word of God entered into you. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, all God is trying to do is to change people. To change people. He said, once I have changed you, there's nothing I can give you. You hear what I said? God says what? Once I have changed you, there is nothing I can't give you. But the problem is, are we willing to change? Are we willing to listen and be changed? Let me end my message there. I hope you're blessed this evening. Yes, sir. Let's just begin to give the Lord thanks. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Right there on our seats, we will stand up after. Because once we stand, I want us to just get up and go from there. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. For the power of your word, we thank you. We thank you for the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Everybody, just begin to commit yourself to him again. Say, Lord, I commit my life to learning, to a season of learning, to a life of learning. I want truth to enter into me and transform me. I want grace to manifest in my life. Grace is the power of God that works towards those who believe. Say, Lord, I want your grace to manifest in my life. Therefore, I commit myself to you to learn. Say, Lord, give me understanding. I commit myself to learning the word of God. I refuse to walk in ignorance. Oh, tomorrow we'll talk more about this learning thing. That is the key. That is the key. It's not struggles. It's to allow God to enter into us. Say, Lord, I commit myself to learning. Say, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I want the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened. I know ease will come into my life, and I will serve God with that ease. Just really thank God. Say, Lord, thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thank you because indeed Jesus owns my life. If you have not given your life to Christ, it's a good time to just join us in praying this prayer. Say, Lord, I give you my heart. I want to live for you from today. Whatever it will come with it, let it come. I want to live with for you from today. I'm tired of struggle. I'm tired of walking in sin. I'm tired of running after the devil. And everybody who has given his life to Christ, just say, Lord, I thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you because the curse has been removed. All ancestral curses have been removed. Say, Lord, I thank you because all ancestral curses have been removed. Lord, I thank you. All ancestral curses have been removed. Curses are not the reason for my stagnation. No, I cannot be stagnated by any ancestral curse because Jesus has set me free. Say, Lord, Jesus has set me free. Say, I repent of my ignorance. I repent of my disobedience. Those are the only things that keep Christians down. Say, Jesus has set me free. Let's begin to say thank you. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please quickly, let's just share the grace now. We are living in, I just want to also just leave now. Please, our materials are out there. The greatest thing I will have achieved, if you ask me for these meetings, is to get you addicted to studying the Word of God. That will be my greatest achievement. All right? A lot of times people come to me for counseling. I want to talk to you. Most of the time I say, look, I don't know you. I won't talk to you. That's really what I do. Just my habit. All right? So I say, okay, go and read this book first. And many times, 9 times out of 10, they come back and say, I don't need to talk to you again. Now that I have understanding, that question has disappeared by itself. Do you understand? So that would be the greatest thing, all right, that I will have achieved. That's why our materials are out there. I'm encouraging you, okay? All our audio messages are free on the internet. You can download from our website, kwm.com.ng. Don't be like Uzzah. You know Uzzah? Uzzah went to church. He said, let me make sure today the service goes on smoothly. He died. What was the sin? God said, why did he shine that altar when he was not supposed to touch it? He said, but he wanted to help now. God said, but I said his type, they are not supposed to touch it. And God killed him. Not the devil. We worship the devil too much. It was not the devil. Who killed him? God. So don't think the fact that you are doing it for God, it means it's acceptable. You can give God something that makes you die. So if you don't want to die, learn it. That's why it said in that Ecclesiastes chapter 5, guard your steps when you approach the temple. Draw near to listen. One of the things that kill men today, I'm being honest with you, preachers, is when they start doing the job God did not send them to. Many men have started churches and that's what killed them. God said, that boy decided to start a church. Let him be preaching first. After some years, tell one angel, remove his head on a platter of gold. Give it to Herod. Many people are preaching what is not true. But they think that if we do it, God, church will get more money and then we'll be able to preach the gospel. You cannot use money you got with lying to preach the gospel of truth. Does it make sense? You lie to get money to preach the truth. Just don't preach at all. So that the everything will remain the way they were. No, you have sent lies out. And these things are dangerous. One man of God, I saw him once on TV as he was preaching. I just told my wife, this guy is not called. I know I'm not the Holy Spirit, but experience alone allows me to know some things. I just said, this man is not called. I said, this man is his wife that called him. I'm not kidding. I'm still seeing his picture in my face now as he was preaching that day. I was watching TV. I told my wife, this man is not called. The day I saw his wife, she did not preach. She was just talking. I said, God, this woman is called. You could see the unction. Just normal. She just sat down and was just talking. The unction was clear. Then they gave the man title, bishop. I just said, this man is not called. A year after he died, I said, this man is not called. It's so common. When he died, I said this man's wife has used witchcraft to kill him. We think witchcraft is when you go to coven. That one is home video. You know, I've been telling you. Witchcraft is when the woman won't let her husband do the will of God. That's witchcraft. The first time I heard is Derek Prince. Derek Prince said manipulation is witchcraft. Many pastors are witches. If you don't come to my church again, I will remove the grace of God upon your life. Who gave you the power? Yes, I know a pastor that does it. He said, if you anoint me, I will remove the cover over your head. If you say that to me once, God has to appear to me in a vision for me to come back to that church. That is pure witchcraft. I'm coming back. I will go back and say, God, listen, please appear if you want me to go back. Otherwise, status right now ain't going back. How can a man look at me and say, if I anoint, he will remove the cover? Who gave him the right? The head of every man is Christ. Please don't let ignorance kill. Please, that's what I'm begging. Many people are serving God and that is what is injuring them. That's why I package those messages. And I have a set of books I recommend for ministers. If you're a minister, tomorrow we'll talk that one. Let me not preach that one now. Please, so 9 o'clock tomorrow, please, we'll be here, all right? And then in the evening, we'll continue again. This is our meeting. Please, be on time again. Thank you for coming on time today. Tomorrow will be the last day. I'll try and make sure we start on time so we can finish everything that we have to see. Once again, this is Kingdom World Ministries. Thank you for coming. We don't meet here regularly. We just hired this hall for this weekend. And there's no church on Sunday. Do you understand my point? On Sunday, I'll be preaching at an Anglican church somewhere. And I hope all of you will have one. This man is a pastor. You can follow him to church. Okay. So there's no church on Sunday here. All right? We just hired this hall for just these 3 days. It will end tomorrow. After that, we go our various ways. I know there are people from different churches here. Some even came from away. And they are Anglican bishops almost. Kingston, where is he? Saw him earlier. Okay. So, all right, so that's what we do. Kingdom World, we just teach the word of God. Please visit our website for more information, kwm.com.ng. The reason why I wanted to note that address is that your friends may be far away. They can go there. All our materials there are free for download. Most of our books are there. Not all. All of them will get there eventually. All right, let's rise to our feet quickly and let us close. Please shake the hand of somebody beside you on your left and your right. Tell the person, congratulations, you are free in Christ Jesus. Tell the person, you are not bound. You are not bound. You are free. Tell the person, there is no hereditary poverty for you. There is Jesus' prosperity in your life. Tell the person, you can do well. You will do well. You will succeed abundantly. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Say, Christ is in me. That is my expectation of glory. Say, these old things have passed away. My sins have been forgiven. This came to my mind. Please allow me to say it. Say, all the abortions have been forgiven. Even men say it. So all of us will say it together. Yeah, because somebody's in there that was feeling a kind of guilt towards that. So I needed to let you know. You have been forgiven. Amen. You and Mother of Christ, Jesus, Mother Mary, are the same thing as far as God is concerned. Because that's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. It washes people thoroughly. It says it's able to save to the uttermost anyone that will draw near to God by him. You are clean in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you are clean in Christ Jesus.
You are clean in Christ Jesus.
You are free in Christ Jesus. Your sins have been washed away. They have been washed away. All your errors have been washed away. In Christ Jesus, you have been made free. Tell the person, forget the thing they buried in the village. It's none of your business.
Now listen to this. If you start digging it, now you define wahala. Because when you go and dig, it's a sign of unbelief. Do you understand my point? And those who doubted, they perished in the wilderness. You may not come out from that pit. As they dig and finish, the leg where you put inside go shook something. Tetanus be your portion. So don't just go near. I like to tell the truth. Because sometimes we don't tell it. It's God only bless. Sometimes God is vexed. He's slow to anger. Eventually he gets there. Do you get my point? You can't be disobeying him regularly. He says he's slow to anger. Waiting. He didn't say he does not vex. He said he's slow. After vexing him for 4 years, he didn't reach there. Are you getting my point? So let me say it to you again. Nothing was buried that is working against you.
Amen.
Everything that was buried has been reburied by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They have been rendered of no effect.
Amen.
Did they bury something? Maybe. Did you believe? Yes, that's what I know. Did Jesus die for you? Yes. The thing buried, is it working against you? No. Why? Because you are seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and everything that was buried. Tell your neighbor, you are free.
You are free.
Listen, I need to say this, please. I know I'm taking time. You have problems, so what? Who doesn't have problems? Jesus had problems. If Judas is your secretary, it's a problem. I hope you understand what I'm saying. If your treasurer, that's the secretary, treasurer. If your mother does not believe in you, you can imagine I'm preaching and my mother comes outside and says, Banky, come, we are going home. That was what Jesus Christ's mother did to him one day. She and the brothers came and said, come. You go to your hometown. Everywhere, nobody say prophet, you go to your hometown. Hey, Joshua. Hebrew name was Joshua. You have come. They say you raise the dead. My chicken don't die from chicken from bird flu. That is a problem. Are you getting my point? One day, one brother came to me. He said that doesn't think he's blessed. I said, why? He told me all his problems. I looked at him. I said, do you know the first time my wife was pregnant, the baby died at 8 months? I said, you know your problem? You're a spoiled child. Will you get away from here now? I say it. I wrote the story in my book. Sometimes Isaacs die. So you get a problem. If they crucify you, bury you for 3 days, you go nowhere till they call problem. Do you get my point? So you have a problem doesn't mean any issue. You understand? It doesn't just repent of any disobedience that is in your life. Do you get my point? Start working with God. That is all. Any other problem is just a trial of your faith. They will pass away. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I'm walking through. I didn't build a house there. Is that not so? I walk through. I pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Any shadow you are in right now, you're only passing through.
Amen.
And I speak the word of God to you tonight. You will come out in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Breakthrough is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come on, let's just share the grace in fellowship. Please, if you have our magazine, open to page 2. The bottom right corner. If you don't have it, it's just there. Yes, open to page 2. Exactly. This is how we share the grace in Kingdom World Ministries. All right? So we'll do it twice so that some people can learn. Okay, let me go first and then everybody follow me. Then we'll do it a second time. All right, so I'll give one line, then you repeat it. All right, everybody say after me, say, because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ.
We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing.
All things have passed away in our lives.
We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ.
We live above sin and walk above the devil.
Because we are seated high above with Christ.
This is our season of fruitfulness.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, let's take it together. Everybody want to. They are passing out the magazine, so some people just open to page 2. All right? Now, 1, 2, go. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry, just a minute. Now, I want you to say I so that we can close quickly. You know, it's I or we. So I want you to personalize, say I. All right, 1, 2, go.
Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely I have passed out of death, I have passed into life. I have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. I have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. I have now filled with the Spirit of Christ. I live above sin and walk above the devil because I am seated high above with Christ. This is my season of fruitfulness
in the name of Jesus Christ. Give it to your neighbor. This is your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. One more person. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. As you go, God is going with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
No evil will befall you, and no plague will come your dwelling place. In the name of Jesus Christ.